Welcome to Trends with Benefits, real estate investing with Dale Creed Francis and Ryan Litvin. We strive to bring an open, honest, and transparent approach to real estate investing by informing and educating listeners about the real-world benefits, issues, and challenges investors need to know when it comes to direct participation real estate. This podcast is where you can learn the latest trends, innovations, and opportunities available to help build wealth, create income, and diversify your portfolio. So get ready for another informative, fast-paced, and entertaining episode of Trends with Benefits. Welcome back, everybody. Dale Creed Francis here and Ryan Litvin. We're your co-hosts of Trends with Benefits, and you can go to trendswithbenefitspodcast.com, and I encourage you to do that and sign up for the free newsletter. It's complimentary every month, but what we cover on the show, we cover in greater detail in the newsletter, but they go hand in hand. And so let's go ahead and get started with this. You guys, everyone's heard the term, and you know it very well, take the path less traveled. Take the path or the road less traveled. Well, today, what we're going to be talking about is taking the path more traveled. Because if you study the ways in which millionaires and billionaires make their fortune, you'll find that the top two paths are entrepreneurship, so starting your own business, owning your company, likely making money during it and with the sale of it, and real estate investing. And real estate investing has long been the favored investment for so many people. Let me quote Franklin D. Roosevelt, 32nd president. Real estate cannot be lost or stolen, nor can it be carried away. Purchased with common sense, paid for in full, and managed with reasonable care, it is about the safest investment in the world. Andrew Carnegie stated this, 90% of all millionaires become so through owning real estate. More money has been made in real estate than in all industrial investments combined. Now, he said that way back when, but it holds true today. It continues on because real estate is one of the largest categories of investing. There's three really big ones: stocks, bonds, and real estate. And a proven path to wealth creation is with those, and real estate being a key. Investing in multifamily real estate is particularly attractive. However, direct participation in real estate, and we talk about this a lot, DPRE, which is actual ownership of it, hasn't been as easily accessible as like stocks and bonds. Now you say, wait a minute. There's REITs and there's real estate mutual funds. As we've talked about so many times before, that was Wall Street acknowledging and realized that people's appetite for real estate, and then they created it in these mutual funds and REITs. Those folks and savvy investors know this. If you invest in those, you do not own any actual real estate. You own shares in the fund. That is not the same thing as owning real estate directly. And so until, you know, really the last decade or so, some of the secrets, or we've pulled back the veil, we've been part of doing that for investors, that it is not as difficult to get involved and own in DPRE as it once was, or as people once believed. And so there's a ton of benefits, Ryan.
There are, and I'll kind of piggyback on that, or say this, is that it's also important when going direct, you know, looking for that direct source, to work with a reputable group that has a track record and history, and mm-hmm. is not just playing on the term real estate.
Right.
Because there are easy money times when money is cheap and construction costs are low, and you know, anybody can put up an apartment building or some other sort of real estate. But standing the true test of time through recessions and through difficult periods are the groups, in my opinion, that you'd want to look at. Those are the ones that are able to manage successfully through those time frames. And when we're talking about the term multifamily real estate, that's specifically non-age restricted apartment buildings, rental units that, you know, don't have any sort of age restriction on them. So people are moving into them. That's their home. That's the lifestyle they want. They don't want the maintenance. They're moving into an apartment. So it's also important to look at an experienced group who can identify markets that aren't oversaturated or overbuilt, right, and key markets that are ahead of the demographics and the trends in certain areas. And those are the buildings that really, through any economic environment, when done right, can provide a good return structure on the money invested. So some of the benefits that we see in that multifamily real estate space or multifamily investments is a lower risk and lower volatility than other asset classes. Mm-hmm. This isn't a line that you watch go up and down or have the rug pulled out underneath you. Yeah. From a cryptocurrency or a stock or something that's of that nature. Oftentimes can be looked at as recession resistant in nature, meaning people always have to have a place to live. So again, doing the good projects that make sense and running the data and the analytics through any sort of economic environment, making sure that your rents are in line and that are able to be afforded by that demographic and that geographical location can really, in my opinion, make it recession resistant. Looking at solid returns and the creation of passive income distributions, people are paying their rents, having a diversified apartment building where you've got 150 different individuals or families making payments. You might have a couple that get into financial difficulty, but again, you're diversified across 150 rent payers. Looking at favorable demographics, things that aren't just fly by night. These are 15, 10, 20, 40 years in the making. Can provide a big benefit when done right in the multifamily space. The availability and advantages of commercial lending. It's not a one-size-fits-all marketplace. Oftentimes you have banks that are, competing with certain terms for well-capitalized groups with experience to provide that lending, which can, again, make it a more economically favorable project with a better return structure.
Well, you can also throw into the competing groups insurance companies and credit unions now.
Yeah.
And they're all competing for that business, obviously doing it so in smart ways for them as well. But it's there are better, sometimes better avenues to go for us out there.
That's a great, stepping outside of just a box. It's not always just a bank. Like you said, it can be a credit union, can be an insurance company. It could be a private fund that lends the money as well.
Yep.
So there's a lot of competitive advantages there. And the ability to scale in the multifamily space is a benefit. And the opportunity to invest fractionally, meaning no one of us necessarily is the only investor in a project. If a project is $60 million, you don't have to bring all of that. You can spread that out and do it that way.
Yeah, exactly. With other like-minded people who want that, but don't have to, or can't take on all of it themselves. And I want to go back to a couple of your points: favorable demographics, recession resistant in nature. I want to make sure, because there's an area here that also confuses people. They see on TV or hear on the radio them talking about the real estate market or the real estate housing market. That's not what we're talking about when they talk about that. They're typically talking about single family homes and that housing market. And so don't let that confuse you. In fact, what we see is often when there is turbulent times, maybe less favorable times for single family housing, it only helps the multifamily space.
Well, interesting enough is, when you're looking from a development standpoint like we are, and from an investment standpoint like we are, you have to kind of put your own your own mindset or your own likes and dislikes out of the equation and look at the data.
Mm-hmm.
Recently I saw a national developer build a large neighborhood in Twin Cities metro area here, mm-hmm. 50, 60, 75 homes or more, maybe even 100 and some. But it's an entire community of $500,000 to $700,000 houses that are rentals.
Yep.
And that whole community is rentals. That's the desire and need of some of the population, a lot of the population surprisingly. But they're actually building single family homes. And, you know, we've done some rental townhomes along with apartments. So
right.
you really have to look at the data and the demographics and make your decision based on that.
And communities are different. One community doing a rental townhome community just might not be the thing at all. In another community, it might be the thing they are just
lacking.
Lacking and needing. So if I were to say multifamily real estate provides a quote unquote safe investment opportunity, Ryan, let's cover that a little more and explain what that means.
Well, all investments have a degree of risk, right? Anything
right.
you do in the investment world is going to have a degree of risk, but they don't all have the same risk. Some investments are riskier than others. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way I see it, the ideal investment would maximize returns while minimizing risks, right? I believe that commercial multifamily real estate can closely approximate that ideal scenario when done right mm-hmm. and with an experienced group.
Agreed. Continuing in this sort of vein, the multifamily sectors have remained strong during economic uncertainty. And that is over the years, you can look at various different times, but none other than the most recent, the COVID period of time. And I get so many people ask me about how did it go or how does it, well, again, you can read about a lot more details on this topic in our newsletter, but I will say that despite lockdowns and quarantines and travel bans and mandates, really the multifamily's only been affected about 1-3% drop in rent payments during that time. Most of that's all recovered. But in contrast, rent collection for retail real estate plunged to 58% and hotel or the hospitality industry experienced 40%+ declines. I find it hard to imagine that it was only 40 because I remember seeing places there was no cars in hotel parking lots. But anyway,
think of the long-term effects to that too. Like, the office space and the mentality of employees from working from home with the implementation of Zoom and Google Meetings and all of those things are affecting those. So you have to, again, it's looking at the long-term demographics and not just playing on short-term trends.
Yeah, not quick segue here. Here's why I think it's important to have wise, experienced people on city councils and such, because let's just use Minneapolis as an example. You could use a lot of metro areas across the country, but Minneapolis downtown, that office space is some of those buildings are like a ghost town. And so because companies moved out, people move up. Why wouldn't they? You had shutdowns and then you had riots and people didn't feel safe. And so where'd they go? A lot of them moved to the suburbs, and that's where we've always seen the opportunities. But here's what I'm saying. City council like Minneapolis says this, Ryan. Well, I've got a solution. We'll just take those empty floors in these big towers that were office space for law firms and whatever that are vacant now. And we're going to have developers convert those into housing, single family apartments or, you know, condos in these buildings, make this a multifamily building. Now, let me ask you something. If everyone's leaving, who's going to go back in there and live in the apartment that the developer supposedly is going to do because he's going to make well? It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. So anyway, that's just, I hear these ideas and I just think, oh, clearly you've never been involved and never had to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Because so. But more people are renting than ever. That's another thing. And more people are being priced out of owning their homes as we're well on our way to becoming a quote unquote renter nation. And you just talked about that with a whole community of rental homes in addition to apartments and so on. So back to that fractional or partial ownership, that's a key because I think it's a mental barrier for a lot of people who go, well, that's a $60 million apartment building or it's 80 or whatever. I have no experience. So I can't develop it myself. I don't have enough money to do that one just by myself, or I have the money to do it by myself, but I don't want to go do that building by myself. So you get a whole bunch of accredited type investors who have like minds, and they do it together, right?
That's true. And it's, you know, it takes a lot more than that too. You know, going into the experience again of going through different economic times and putting together the right financing and what is the right percentage of financing and do you bring in, you know, what other partners do you bring in and what does the whole capital stack look like? And diversification in all aspects of life is important to many. It's important to me. And being able to diversify like that and not put up that much capital yourself, you want to participate, you want to do it, but you don't want to do it all yourself. And that's where multifamily investments, when put together right and with the right experienced group, you know, allows multiple people to participate in that specific asset and enjoy the potential benefits of real estate as an asset class when going directly to the source.
Yeah. Yeah. You can look at people who work with us and do these. They're doctors and they're professionals and they're business owners and so on and executives at companies, and they get involved and then they're partial owner in multiple properties, mm-hmm. which is a great way for them to go. You have conversations with people a lot about tax benefits, and there's no cookie cutter approach per se because everybody's just a little bit different, but there can be significant tax benefits for being invested in the real estate space in this way, direct participation.
Well, there is, and every individual is different, and we're not tax advisors by any means, but from speaking from personal experience, the depreciation components that can be that come with real estate projects, real estate investments, when utilized under the right circumstances, can really provide significant tax benefits. So, you know, like, let's just say you make an investment, as this example, you make an investment into an apartment and that apartment sells. Well, now you've got a capital gain, ideally, right? You've got a capital gain from a profit on that apartment that you would have to pay tax on. And so now you have less working capital to go reinvest in something else. Well, the depreciation components can, again, in the right circumstances, allow you to offset those capital gains with, quote, losses from depreciation, thereby allowing you to have that full amount of capital to continue to keep working for you by reinvesting over the years. Do you have to pay the piper someday? Yes. But again, continuing with the right estate planning and tax structures and everything else that can come along with it, but utilizing those depreciation benefits over a long period of time to continue to reinvest that capital, you know, can be quite beneficial when utilized, and as I see it. So there are some big tax benefits that aren't in all investment classes that exist in the real estate space.
Yeah, and working in this space for so long, yeah, we've seen it all. We experience it ourselves personally. And every year, the analytics and advisory firm Gallup, which everyone knows that, they perform a survey looking to see what Americans feel is the best long-term investment. And year after year after year, real estate comes in as the number one choice. So if you are looking to take the path more traveled, go to VincentCos.com, VincentCos.com. Look at what we're doing, look at what we've done, and contact us and talk about, you know, your personal goals and ask any questions you want. And as we wrap up this podcast, and I encourage you again to subscribe to the newsletter at trendswithbenefitspodcast.com. Here is our order of priorities regarding an investment. 5 simple bullet points. We've sort of covered them already, but just to rehash, principal safety, the security of your original investment is our primary focus. We look for stable cash returns, so our investments are structured to generate income. Increasing cash returns, your income may increase over time as you stair-step up with the way our program works. Growing equity, your equity can increase steadily over time as well. Opportunity to accelerate. Your investments will have the ability to do that stair-step up, like I just mentioned, increasing the cash yield and equity growth and liquidity events every couple of years or every few years, and those opportunities exist. So our goal is to help our investors and our clients reach that permanent wealth in this space of direct participation in real estate. And with that, we will leave you and we'll look forward to talking with you again real soon. Take care. Learn more about Vincent Companies and the Trends with Benefits podcast at vincentre.com or trendswithbenefitspodcast.com. You can also give us a call at 612-424-8650 or submit questions at info@vincentre.com. And we really look forward to meeting you soon.